go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 9:11, Tuesday, April 6, 2010. I'm joined today by Senator Ellis, Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, and Senator Egan. We have two bills on the agenda today. House Bill 162, Southeast State Forest. Then we'll move on to Senate Bill 208, DNR Study on Natural Gas. The hearing scheduled for 3:20, the FY11 capital budget jobs bill, will be taken up at a later time. Senate Bill 203, Cook Inlet Gas Storage, will be postponed, possibly indefinitely. So we'll start today with House Bill 162 by the Governor regarding the Southeast Forest. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. And we have representation from the Department of Natural Resources here to present the bill. Then come forward. Introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and walk us through the bill, please.
Yes, good morning. For the record, my name is Chris Mache, Director of the Division of Forestry and the State Forester. I'm before you today to address the CS for House Bill 162, which is the Southern and Southeast State Forest. I just want to thank the committee for this opportunity, the co-chairs and members. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you and provide you information and a briefing on this piece of legislation. What I plan to do is quickly go through a sectional analysis of the bill, and I think all of you have probably been briefed already on this, so I'll make this part of it move along quickly and then answer any questions you might have, and I believe there's people that might be online that would like to testify.
Well, I think the issue here is not so much the committee, but it's the public. We're familiar with what's in the bill, so.
Okay, then I can give you just
a. You want to make sure the people at home are following the discussion here.
Okay, you bet. I'll definitely run through the analysis of the bill so that everyone's clear what we're talking about in terms of the proposed legislation and give you an outline of what the process was we used with the public to make sure there's been a very transparent process and that we've done a lot of outreach with a variety of groups. As you know, this bill would establish a new Southern Southeast State Forest that would be managed as part of the State Forest System under AS 4117-200-230. Lands in the state forest would continue to be open for multiple uses, including wildlife habitat and harvest, recreational activities. The state forest designation would not affect the Wrangell Borough municipal entitlement, nor would it affect the calculation of entitlement acreage for future municipalities in Southeast Alaska. The first section, Section 1, Southeast State Forest, is simply the legal descriptions. Section 1, subsection A through D provide legal descriptions for the lands to be designated as Southern Southeast State Forest. Designated lands include 20 parcels totaling approximately 25,291 acres, and there is a chart attached to a briefing paper in the packet that you received. And these parcels are located on Prince of Wales Island, Tuxacan, Kosciuszko, Hecata, Revilla, and Gravina Islands, and on the mainland at Crittenden Creek. These parcels are an important part of the state timber base, but are classified as general use land, which may be sold in the future. Legislatively designating a state forest would ensure that some land will remain available for the long-term forest management use and enable thinning to increase timber volumes. Designated lands exclude areas identified as important sites for future state land disposals. A management plan and transportation corridor. Subsection B directs DNR to prepare a management plan for the Southern Southeast State Forest. Under AS 4117-230, a management plan is required within 3 years after a state forest is established. State forest management plans must consider and permit multiple uses, including recreation, tourism, mining, use of fish and wildlife, and other traditional uses, unless the commissioner issues a site-specific written finding that a use is incompatible with one or more of the other uses. Public, interagency, and Board of Forestry review is required prior to the adoption of a state forest management plan. As in other state forests, subsection C states that DNR commissioner may also establish transportation corridors within the state forest. Next portion is municipal entitlements. Subsection E clarifies the relationship of the Southeast State Forest to current and potential municipal entitlements. State forests can affect the amount of land a municipality is entitled to select and the land available for selection. The amount of land a municipality may select is based on the maximum total acreage of vacant, unappropriated, and unreserved land, which is referred to as VUU, in the borough boundaries within 2 years after the date of incorporation. Municipal selections are limited to VUU land. Land classified as general use land is VUU land, but state forests are not. The Southern Southeast State Forest is designed to have no impact on the Wrangell Borough land selections. The amount of land that the Wrangell Borough may select is already fixed by its date of incorporation, and this bill simplifies or specifies that the Wrangell Borough may select state forest land within the borough boundary. Three parcels in the Southern Southeast State Forest are within the Wrangell Borough boundary. If new municipalities are incorporated before June 30th, 2019, the Southern Southeast State Forest will not affect the amount of land that they can select. The bill specifies that state forest lands that were VUU land before establishment of the state forest will be included in the calculation of the entitlement acreage. However, parcels in the Southern Southeast State Forest not selected may not be selected. If municipalities formed after 2019, the amount and location of their entitlement would be based on the VUU land at that time. That concludes Section 1. Section 2 is very brief. It's the regulations. The section authorizes DNR to implement, adopt regulations to implement the bill. Section 3 is the effective date for the regulations. Under Section 3, the authority to adopt regulations, which was Section 2, takes effect immediately. And then Section 4 is the effective date for the state forest, and that is July 1st, 2010. A little bit about the process. This has been a project that we've been working on for about 4 years. We've had extensive public involvement through a number of different forums, two in particular, Southeast Conference. I've spoken before two of their annual meetings about this legislation. Southeast Conference has submitted a letter of support for the state forest through the Tongass Futures Roundtable organization that has 35 primary members that range from communities, environmental and conservation interests to timber and other development interests. This particular legislation has been discussed before that body on numerous occasions. The Board of Forestry has discussed this legislation, and to remind you, the board is comprised of eight different members. They represent Alaska Native corporations, Forest Industry Trade Association, a non-governmental organization, a professional forester, and a professional fish and wildlife biologist, a mining organization, commercial fish organization, a recreation seat, and an environmental organization. In your packets, there should be a letter from the Board of Forestry that unanimously supports this legislation. That decision was reached by consensus by the board and was communicated to the body. We also have letters of support from RDC, the Resource Development Council, the Society of American Foresters. Both the Juneau chapter and the statewide chapter have submitted letters of support. The City of Wrangell has submitted a letter in your packet. Community of Kaufman Cove and the Alaska Forest Association have all provided written support for this piece of legislation. We've been in many of the communities that are closest to the 20 different parcels that are identified on the map in your packet, and have discussed this proposal at numerous forums throughout Southeast Alaska and other portions of the state. I think I'll conclude my testimony with that and see if there are any questions.
The committee members have any initial questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The RS-2477 trails, are they preserved in this?
Through the chair to Senator Thomas, yes, any current easements or RS-2477s would be preserved. And I don't know off the top of my head if there are any through these parcels, but if they are there, just like in the Tanana Valley State Forest and the Haines State Forest, which are the other two forests in the system, access will be maintained.
Great. Thank you.
Any other initial questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at this state forest that's out there, and you brought up Wrangell and the Wrangell Borough, it's my understanding that there is a piece of legislation going through for additional selection by the Wrangell Borough. How does this bill affect their selection?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we did negotiate with the Wrangell Borough on that process through the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. There was a bill in the House that was introduced that would increase their entitlement acreage. Some of the parcels that they were interested in would have affected this legislation. Through the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, we were able to reach agreement on which parcels would be selected. It affects the annual allowable cut in the proposed state forest by several hundred acres, so it's not a significant impact to this proposed legislation. And in fact, one of the parcels, Crichton Creek, which is near the city of Wrangell, was an area that was important to the Wrangell community, and it's more than likely they will select that as part of their entitlement selection, which is provisions for that were made in the bill because we knew they were going through that process, and we did not want to inhibit their potential selections.
One final question, Mr. Chairman. Is the city and borough of Wrangell in favor of this bill?
Yes, they have submitted through the chair, Senator Olson. The city of Wrangell has submitted a letter of support for this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any other initial questions for the city forester? We have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources. And before we move to the online, is there anybody that expressed opposition to the creation of this forest?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Last year there was a letter of concern sent in from SEAC. Two of their members had specific concerns about two parcels. One was on Gravina Island. There are two parcels there that are proposed for the state forest. The concern was just that they did not want to see these parcels used for forest management purposes. The other was actually Crichton Creek, the same concern expressed. These parcels of land are already owned by the state. They've been through an area planning process in Southeast Alaska where there were extensive public meetings as part of that process that established these lands as general use lands in the area plan with an intent to use these lands for forest management. So an extensive public process has occurred prior to us proposing these lands be included in a state forest. We did write responses to that essentially the lands through that process had already been identified for forest management and that we were not willing to make a change to those particular parcels.
Okay. We'll now move on to the public hearing portion. We will start with, well, first, I guess, if you could introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and then speak to the bill. We're going to start with the Board of Forestry, Aaron McLaren.
Yeah, good morning, Senators, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Aaron McLarnon, and I'm from Willow. I do sit on the Board of Forestry filling the recreational organizational seat, and I'm here to speak in favor of HB 162. As Chris stated, the entire Board of Forestry supports this bill, and as you already know, the Board of Forestry is made up of a diverse group of representatives. And sometimes it can be difficult for all of us to see eye to eye, and on this bill, we actually do. Being the recreational rep, I need to emphasize that not only will these new state forests provide long-term forest management, but it will also provide, not take away, recreational opportunities. I know the organization I represent, the Willow Dog Mushers Association, supports forestry and the creation of state forests in South Central Alaska because it provides us with more accessible trails over time. Now, if I could take this opportunity to take off my Board of Forestry hat and talk about some of the other opportunities these forests will provide. I moved to Alaska and to Sitka in the early 1990s to attend Sheldon Jackson College and study forestry. This was at the same time the pulp mills were closing down. And needless to say, this downturn in forestry made me change my mind in my selection of my major. I also did realize at the time how this reduction in available timber, which results in unemployment, affected people's lives until recently. Just last week, I lost my job of 7 years due to company closure. I've never understood how stressful and demeaning unemployment can be. Many times one doesn't realize an impact of a decision until it hits close to home. Therefore, I also support the creation of these state forests, not only for the recreational purposes, but to bring back employment to the many loggers and foresters that have lost their job over the years. And that wasn't because those jobs weren't lost because there wasn't a demand for timber, but because the federal government wouldn't supply it. So I totally support and bringing back responsible logging to Southeast Alaska and reemploying the many that have lost their jobs over the years. That concludes my testimony. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today. We'll go on to Carl Portman, please.
Good morning. My name is Carl Portman, and I am the Deputy Director of the Resource Development Council. And I am here to express RDC's strong support for House Bill 162. With the establishment of a new state forest in Southeast Alaska, the Division of Forestry would be able to manage state lands for a long-term supply of timber to local processors and retain the land in state ownership for multiple use. The forest would be managed as part of the state forest system and under the current management intent of the Prince of Wales Island and Central Southeast Area plans. In Southeast Alaska, local mills are dependent on a consistent supply of timber to stay in business. With the sharp decline in federal timber sales, the demand for state timber from local mills has increased significantly. Establishment of the Southeast Alaska State Forest will help provide a sustainable timber supply to local mills and accelerate the harvest of second growth timber. Actively managed second growth stands will provide more timber volume per acre on shorter rotations. The shift to second growth harvesting can be accelerated and timber volume increased on state land by thinning these stands. However, thinning is a long-term investment and is only justified if the land will continue to be available for forest management. A legislatively designated state forest would ensure that land would remain available for long-term forest management. RDC encourages the committee to pass HB 162. And we thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on this legislation.
Okay, thank you for your testimony, Carl, this morning.
You're welcome.
We'll go to Ketchikan now. Mr. Dick Coos.
Good morning, Senator. My name is Dick Coos. I'm a retired forester and also a member of the Society of American Foresters. And I want to thank you folks for hearing this bill. I encourage the Senate to pass HB 162. The Southeast State Forest will help keep some semblance of a forest industry in Southeast while still practicing multi-use management on state lands. In the state of Alaska, DNR, Department of Forestry, is an excellent land manager while working under the State Forest Practices Act. This particular state forest is going to, like I say, help us keep some semblance of an industry down in Southeast, and with the federal government being unable, unwilling, or whatever else you want to say about them, to provide any timber to industry, it looks very dire down here for it. So I would encourage the state to seriously consider obtaining an additional 4 to 5 million acres from the Tongass National Forest and designated as state forest land. And maybe we can build back some of what we've lost over the past couple of decades, but because the Forest Service managers are no longer capable or really interested in, I think, multi-use management of their forest and providing the goods and services that Southeast Alaska residents are entitled to. So please pass this, and thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Today, that concludes our LIOs and off-nets. Come back to the room. There's nobody signed up in the audience to testify. Do we have any final questions for the bill sponsor? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Go on to our next piece of labor today. Senate Bill 208 by Senator Wilikowski regarding a study by the Department of Natural Resources on natural gas. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to introduce the bill, take public testimony, set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Senator Wilikowski to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm State Senator for Northeast Anchorage. Senate Bill 208 calls on the Department of Natural Resources and Revenue to complete two tasks by December 1st of this year. The first is to evaluate the effectiveness of existing incentives designed to increase exploration for and production of natural gas in Cook Inlet. The second is to identify and evaluate additional steps the legislature could take to increase production of gas in Cook Inlet. It is well known that reserves of natural gas in Cook Inlet are declining. You've probably all seen the waterfall chart, which I've included in your packets, which depicts a precipitous decline in the known reserves of Cook Inlet gas. The chart indicates, and through testimony that we've heard, indicates that as early as 2012, homes and businesses in South Central could be without sufficient supplies of natural gas. Earlier this year, we received encouraging news about this looming gas shortage when DNR completed a new assessment of known, possible, and probable reserves in the inlet. This review concluded that if sufficient investment in Cook Inlet exploration were made, supplies could last a great deal longer. While the new assessment provides welcome news, the challenge remains: what actions can and should the state take to encourage producers to invest in the inlet? Which incentives are likely to work, and which simply transfer revenue from the state treasuries to companies which may already have sufficient incentive to drill given proper market conditions? Are there steps the state can take other than lowering tax rates or increasing credits which might have a greater effect on the private sector behavior? This question is particularly compelling in light of the very modest tax rates and generous tax credits that producers in the inlet already enjoy. The legislature has already gone to great lengths to encourage more production in Cook Inlet. To that extent, are the incentives working? This bill seeks to answer this question and others. For example, what are other jurisdictions doing to promote more investment in similar types of fields? If the small size of the market in Alaska is an impediment to new exploration and production, which we have heard, are there steps the state can take to enhance the market to ensure that producers see a return on their investment in a more reasonable time frame? For instance, could the state commit to buying a percentage of newly proven reserves up front so investors don't have to wait decades to reap the benefits of their investment? Earlier this session, Mr. Chair, you heard testimony that the state already reimburses companies for approximately 45 to 65% of their exploration costs in Cook Inlet. Given this, how can the state partner more effectively with the industry to ensure that the needs of Alaskans for a long-term, affordable, and reliable source of gas are met? This bill calls for a quick analysis of these questions. It asks DNR and DOR to assess the effectiveness of existing fiscal inducements, propose new incentives it believes would be useful, and then look broadly at what other strategies, or continuing the current strategies, the state might employ to make sure Alaskans don't tumble off the cliff depicted in DNR's waterfall chart. Most importantly, it calls for this work to be done quickly by December 1st so that the legislature can act swiftly next year once the foundation for a more informed decision has been laid. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to answer questions.
We have any initial questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, what we'll do is we'll bring up Mr. Banks. You can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Kevin Banks. I'm the director of the Division of Oil and Gas. A couple of months ago, the sponsor's staff asked us if such a project was feasible, and would there be, what thoughts did we have about how to make a study like this work, and whether or not it could be implemented in the short time that we had. Our first recommendation was to make the bill with an immediate effective date so we could begin work as quickly as possible, because there was a real expression of need on the behalf of the sponsor and his staff to have this work completed by the next legislative session. In a little bit of, a little creative thinking about how this could proceed or how we could implement this, it occurred to me that we had under contract already a firm that had begun work that was somewhat similar to this and whose scope of work, frankly, is sufficiently broad that we could expand the work to include the Cook Inlet. Work under this existing contract amounted to a description of other kinds of land use, resource management, and fiscal systems that are found around the world, and as they could be possibly applied to new North Slope development. And we only got so far as to get that kind of description without much of an analysis. So I believe we could modify that contract, and the contractor is Gaffney Klein, and begin work on this fairly expeditiously, and thought that we could provide some kind of work product for the legislature by the deadline. That's all I have to say. It's just a suggestion that that okay. may be the way we would move forward with this.
To clear up the issue on the time element, do we, in your opinion, do we need any language modifications to accelerate that so you can immediately start, or do you feel this bill is as written as would give you the flexibility so you could answer that question by December 1st?
Mr. Chairman, I think with an immediate effective date, and if we can turn to the existing contract with some modification, I think we can make this deadline.
One of the concerns that a lot of us have in the building is the natural gas supply in the rail belt, because we all recognize the climate we live in, but that we do it, we go to the, we have good public policy calls on it, that we're not reactionary, and we actually do something that's going to get it, try to solve the problem. And I've spoken with Senator Wilikowski on this particular bill, because there's several bills and or ideas around that offer incentives, some of which seem to be a little detached from what I'd see as a regular public policy process that we would go through, defining what the issue is more specifically, and then targeting governmental action or help to bridge that particular problem so we don't run out of gas. So I'm just kind of wondering what your department's thoughts are on how we get to a solution in Cook Inlet.
Mr. Chairman, I can respond to that with two comments. I think most tax policy with respect to incentives, either by reducing tax or providing some kind of credit, is, as I've said in other venues, like pushing a string. And we really don't have a lot of levers to pull in state policy in tax policy. And for that matter, lessees that are already in place, we have a contractual relationship with those lessees that somewhat limit our hand in terms of what our relationship and what we can encourage producers to do. This bill, I think, asks us to go into into some creative thinking about, can the state have a more active role in the marketplace, in the exploration and development of resources in the Cook Inlet, and I think those are worth examining, as you suggest, so that we've taken a more measured approach to what our options may be.
I think just for the people watching at home that are probably not as may not be as familiar with our tax structure, Cook Inlet does not have the tax structure as the Northern Region, Prudhoe and Kuparuk. We have a very low tax structure within Cook Inlet. We've increased the credits the last several years, broadened them, and made sure that Cook Inlet was not impacted by ACES, and for that matter, PPT, when we did that, when we moved to the production sharing, because Cook Inlet is a challenged older basin. So I just didn't want people to think that, you know, there was a direct connection between the tax structure and in the Arctic versus Cook Inlet, because they're two different things. We're getting fairly close to zero in Cook Inlet for our tax bite. And that's what concerns me, that we do something that's going to try to solve the problem, and we just don't spin our wheels. And that's why I was encouraged when Senator Wilikowski brought forward this bill, so we can try to get a handle on that situation with some analysis, so we can have, you know, some measured, if we do incentives, some measured incentives to see if we're going to get the results we want, which is more gas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll take that on board in terms of how we go forward with a study such as this, if it's the will of the legislature to have us do it.
Yeah. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to compliment Senator Wilikowski for bringing the legislation forward. It's pretty common sense, but I guess, you know, my concern is every time we need to do something in the state, and this is a critical area, I mean, and my neighbors remind me of that about every other day, why it takes legislation to get common sense action going forward. I can understand if you need some money, but what if Senator Wilkowski wasn't in the Senate and somebody didn't come up with a good idea? Well, absent this legislation, what would you do?
That's a very good question, Senator, through the chair. Absent this legislation, I think the, you know, what we have been doing in the past is trying to make sure that you know, the markets are sustained. There have been some exercises in the past where we've discussed the sale of royalty in kind gas with different parties. Some of those just never materialized, but that was an option that we took into account as a way of delivering some of the state's gas into the marketplace as a new supplier, so to speak. Those sorts of things we've tried in the past with limited success, but that would be an example of perhaps try and try again. I mean, it's not the fact that it didn't work once might be an opportunity to try again. Good question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Will this study include the regulations, and would it include the RCA potential or impact on potential gas? Or are you just going to look at the basin economics itself and not the regulatory side in this study?
I think the Mr. Chairman, that the instructions are broad enough to consider that with respect to study and report relating to the incentives for increasing gas production and the expiration for and the marketing of gas in the Cook Inlet. So the marketing of gets us into a place where the RCA is, whether the state becomes some kind of aggregator of gas for resale or it strikes me that there is a place in the study for that, and if that is the will of the legislature, I mean, I think we could look to your legislative intent to guide us in some of those kinds of questions too.
Well, I think if we don't take a fairly broad look at Cook Inlet and we just look at tax rates and capital credits, for instance, incentives, mm-hmm. we've got virtually no tax on Cook Inlet, so I'm not confident that that's going to give us the results. I think we're better off to look at a broader view of Cook Inlet.
Yes, sir. Take that on.
Any other questions for Mr. Banks? We have nobody signed up online. And nobody signed up in the room to testify. We'll come back to maybe we can have Senator Wilkowski come forward. We have any final questions for Senator Wilkowski? We do have two fiscal notes in your packet. One zero fiscal note from the Department of Revenue, one positive fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources for $200,000 in general funds to hire outside consultants to complete the study. Senator Wilkowski, do you have any final comments before we set this bill aside?
I would say that this issue has been one of the greatest frustrations of my short legislative career, Mr. Chairman, just trying to figure out what we can do to get more Cook Inlet gas production, more Cook Inlet exploration. And I think Senator Huggins really hit the nail on the head. We shouldn't have to have a bill like this, but the reality is we're here, and I think this could help. There are currently bills that provide for incentives for Cook Inlet, and as someone who represents people in Cook Inlet, I think I would be inclined to support those. But I think taking a longer-term view and figuring out is what we're doing really producing the result that we want, I think that's a worthwhile endeavor, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. That concludes, unless members have additional comments, that concludes today. I'd like to need the record to reflect though Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman joined us some time ago. The next meeting is scheduled at 1:30. We'll go ahead and cancel that. We're working on several bills in the office, so we need some time to put them together. Next meeting, Wednesday, April 7th, 9 a.m. Three bills on the agenda: transfer restrictions on trusts. That's Senate Bill 63, Senate Bill 172, Alaska Healthcare Commission, Senate Bill 184, Internet Access to Legislative Committee Meetings, and then, of course, bills previously heard. We are adjourned.